Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. May you speak to all of us tonight as I share the story about how you have transformed my life and changed me, Lord. We thank you so much. The same God that has changed me will change everyone who come to him and believe in him. You are truly the way, the truth, and the life. May you reveal that tonight in this story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak for the next few minutes. I'm extremely excited to share to you the story about how God found me, the lost one. And it's so unique because I never thought I need God. I mean, I thought my life was amazing, it was fine, and I really think that God is the last thing that I will ever turn to. I grew up in Bali, Indonesia. My father from Brazil, mom Indonesians, and I have two younger siblings. My parents moved to Brazil the past 12 years ago, so they live in Rio de Janeiro. They're extremely happy with the party. They're somehow glad it's over. It's going to be, you know, like people will just leave Brazil and be quiet again, I guess. But it was really amazing to grow up in Bali with such a unique cultural. If you've been to Bali, you'll see people just come from around the world. It's like, it's especially I live in the touristic area in Legian. And I remember as a kid, like thinking that this is just great. After school, my day will be just go to the beach and swim, lunch before that first, swim until the afternoon comes. Then I have to go back home and shower, eat dinner, do my homework. And the next day is the same again and again and again. I never get bored. In fact, I often think I was the Little Mermaid from the movie Ariel, the Little Mermaid. But I remember that as much as my ignorance of religions, I feel really I need something to help me, but I don't know where, I don't know what. When I was in school, I didn't realize that I have such a peer pressure from surrounding. I have, like, I call it identity crisis. At a very young age, I remember feeling really down because people make fun of me. And my parents will try to boost my confidence with like learn to surf, you know, surf like not helping but surfing, and do lots of activities. But I don't know how I can overcome this identity crisis. The very first identity crisis I have is actually coming from such a mixed cultural. It's just I don't feel I belong to any of these two cultural. The first one is from, you know, in Brazil, people call me Oriental because I'm Asian. And in Indonesia, they call me Bule, means Western. So I feel like I don't belong to any of these two land. And the second one is actually my name. I really dislike my name. I remember, you know, every time we in the new class, I'm just saying like, oh, please don't make mistake. Don't make mistake in pronouncing my name, please. And they will pronounce Trasi, and Trasi is a smelly shrimp paste or smelly fish. And the rest of my year, people will call, hey, smelly fish, you know, hey, Trasi, and I'm just like, I hate my name. And then the last one is actually being very tall for Asian. I was 173 when I was 13, 175 centimeters when I was 14, and 181 now. Thank God I stopped. I don't want to go taller than this. So it's like it seems like I have two worlds. Like one, it's actually the world of super fun, lively childhood, living near the beach. But there is a part of darkness, I will call it, in school where people make fun of me. Well, I lose my identity, where I feel like I'm in crisis, but no one to turn to. In fact, I can't really tell my parents because I did tell my parents. I moved to many schools when I was small. The only thing, their solution is like, okay, if you're not happy in that school, would you like to move to another school? I did. I think I moved 8 times in 8 schools. So, but that's not the solution to this. So I tried to find solution in a way that what can I do to, you know, to finally feel, you know, important, to finally feel like I'm somebody when I have this crisis. My mom realized that when I was 13 to 14 that I have such a low self-esteem. And my mom thinks that maybe if I become a model, maybe I'll have more confidence. So she actually started to send my photo to a local magazine in Jakarta. There's this big competition in Indonesia. It's CoverGirl competition. So basically every teenager will send their photo in hoping there will be one out of the 20 finalists for these competitions. Long story short, my mom sent a photo, and they called me. I was one of the 20 contestants. So I went to Jakarta to do the competitions, and I won the first place. And I didn't realize the implications of that, that somehow it will start to change me. I went back to Bali after winning that, and I remember going back to my school, and people start to be super nice to me. Call me, hey Tracy, I saw you on TV last night. Oh, I read your, my dad read your story this morning in the newspaper. And then I was like, all of a sudden, people just start to be super nice to me. And it's so weird, it's such a weird feeling from being like a nobody to all of a sudden overnight somebody because of these big competitions. And people keep saying to me, like, you know the implication of this competition, that you become, you'll become a famous model. People will know you because you're going to be in the cover of magazine and commercial and all of those things. I didn't realize how it would change my life, how it would make me feel, until people start to be nice to me. No more Tracy. Everyone call me Tracy. And for the first time, I feel important. For the first time, I feel I'm somebody, I'm loved. And that is something that I just think that it just starts, like, maybe this is the way out. For the first time, I feel happy. And I thought, like, you know, this is happiness. Happiness is when somebody knows you, when you become famous. Happiness is when you have actually extra money that you can buy the things that you want. At the age of 14 years old, I built a wrong philosophy about happiness. I really thought happiness can be found in wealth and fame. It's, you know, as I say this, looking at the world today, there's so many young people pursue career, pursue lots of things in order for them to be famous or rich. But I wonder sometimes, is that, are they trying to pursue happiness the way I was when I was a teenager? I don't know. We probably have to ask them. But then when I remember looking back, that moment, I say to myself, I want to be more famous. I want to have more money. I don't care. I have to have more. The same year as I was 14, I won two more modeling competitions. That this brought me to become international model, elite model Indonesia. I was the first winner, elite model international, with 65 countries, 77 contestants. It's almost like Miss Universe competition, but for modeling. And there I won again, and I got contract to work with Elite Model Management across the world, based in New York City. And I told my parents, I really want to go. And they, for the first time, they said, no, you can't. You're just 15, at the time 14 to 15, you're so young, you haven't finished your school, you have to stay, you have to finish your school. I was begging my parents. I have given my parents theories, like how this is important for me, how I'm supposed to pursue this. And at the end, my mom says, like, you know what? One, at one condition that you cannot change. If you change to be a bad person, using all these wrong things in life, you have to go back. So I promised my parents, and I went to New York City. When I arrived, they promised me that somebody would pick me up. Somebody with a paper or board with my name, Tracy Trinidad from Elite Model Management. And they, this driver will take me to the model's apartment where I'll be staying. I was, when I arrived, they forgot that in Indonesia, even when you leave in the evening of the 1st of July, let's suppose, you arrive on the 1st of July because of the time difference. They thought I'll arrive the next day because it doesn't make sense for them, the timing. So when I arrived in JFK, in the airport, no one picks me up. For 12 hours, I was at the airport, waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally I get so tired, I realized, you know what, I'm just going to find my own hotel until they found me. So I went to Manhattan. I stayed there for 3 days. It was so much fun because I was really inspired by the movie called Home Alone 2. And I was like, I didn't realize that no one told me that room service is not free. I keep ordering food, and I order this one. I don't like that one. I order another one. Until 3 days later, they found me, and the bill was very long. And I'm just like, luckily, because they feel bad, they reimburse everything. So it's not on my account. But that was super fun because you know, from nobody to somebody in Indonesia, become a model in Indonesia, and all of a sudden move to New York City, become professional model. And actually, it was not, doesn't look like the way you see it in the movie. It's so much hard work, so much crying, like many cries, many nights. It's just really hard. The behind the scene of entertainment world is really hard. You have to do audition. You have to do lots of preparing portfolio. You have to do lots of training, catwalk training, you know. You have to do lots of photo training and makeup training and lots of things. Just to be there, to be models, you have to do lots of things to prepare yourself. But with one ambition in my heart, I say I want to be happy. Maybe. This is actually the only way I can actually be happy. If I become famous, if I can become rich, I'll be happier. It was really hard. Out of 100 auditions, I would say maximum job that I can get is 10. Imagine 90 people rejected me. And yet, I still want it. I don't want to go home. I want this. Years went by, and the work's getting better. I was in the magazines, in Benetton campaign, in Mango, in lots of in fashion show Paris, New York, Milan Fashion Week, and work is start to get really good, and I start to earn so much money, and I went to parties sometimes, lots of famous people that I keep their names safe with me, and lots of interesting thing, and in fact, my friends from Indonesia will call me and say like, okay, Trace, tell me, what have you done the past 2 weeks since the last time I talked to you? And I'll tell her like, okay, I went to this island for a photo shoot in Jamaica, and then I went to this fashion show, then you remember I went to this party, and remember, you know, in this party it's very unique because I was sitting next to, remember that person that we bought the album and we sang in the car? Yep, he was next to me. Really? And I said to my friend, like, you know what? In fact, I was acting cool because when I spoke to him, I actually say like, oh, sorry, what do you do for a living? I know what he do for a living. We just have to act cool. And it's like, oh, you're a musician. Oh, do you have any album? I have all the album at home. And then we just have to be super chill and cool. And this is the part that I will tell my friends all the story. Remember that movie that's about the sinking ship? Yeah, I met a guy. And you know, blah, blah, blah. And she gets so excited. And she keep telling me like, oh my goodness, I wish I can have your life. This is so much fun. It's much better than my life. High school, it sucks. Like, I'm in school with so much homework and come back and this and that. And I'm just like, and I was just laughing because she didn't know. She didn't know there is something's changed, something's happening. And I can't tell her because I don't want to ruin her dreams of this amazing life that I have in New York City. The life is amazing. I have so much money that I need. I travel all the time. I'm not really homesick because I can come home anytime, 3 times a year. And lots of party, lots of meeting, but there's something wrong that I cannot tell her. Is that when I went back from all these fun things, I come back home, when I can be myself, when I don't have to be a model, when I don't have to be professional, when I can really be the real me, I feel there's emptiness. It's not homesick, it's not lonely because there's models friends sometimes in the apartment. It's empty. Is a void in my heart that I don't know what to do with it. And I try to find my way to fill that emptiness. I go shopping, I go traveling, I go party, and yet still, the emptiness grows bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I wish I know what's happening with me. At the time, I didn't know. And I'm trying to find a solution on my own, and I was failed. So what happened is that I asked people around me, I asked, have they ever felt this way before? This emptiness. Because after sometimes it starts to bother me. I cannot enjoy life anymore with this such a grand emptiness in my heart. Life becomes so meaningless, purposeless, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I asked my friends, and they told me, Trace, that's normal. Really? I'm glad it's normal. So tell me, what's the solution? And my friend told me, like, you know, Monday to Friday, work hard, and Friday to Saturday to Sunday, early Sunday, you can use drugs, and on Sunday, be sober so you can prepare the time for you to work. And I'm just like, no, I don't want to do that. I remember when I was small, I was 10 years old, me and my mom, we went to mental hospital to visit a family relative, and she looks older than her age, no teeth. And then my mom just told me, like, the best anti-drugs campaign. She said to me, like, if you want to look older and uglier sooner, use drugs. I'm like, no, I don't want to use drugs. And I was like, that was the best anti-drugs campaign. So there's no way, I said to my friend. And my other friend said to me, like, you know what, Trace, don't think about it. Enjoy life. YOLO, you only live once. Enjoy life. But I don't know, even though I wasn't a believer, I'm just scared of the consequences of doing something crazy that I have to pay later in my life. So I'm just like, oh, I'm not so sure. And my friend just told me, like, you know what, if you're not happy, then just die. I'm like, die? Where do I go if I die? And I was just thinking, like, if people just give me such a solution that really, really, for me, like, it's not even a solution. It's just, it's about to kill me slowly or fast. So I was thinking, like, there must be somewhere, someone out there who can actually help me and answer these questions. So I did say this prayer. I came to my New York apartment, I just say this prayer. I said, God, the one who made the universe and everything in it, please reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. I asked that questions because I don't know what belief system that I'm supposed to hold, supposed to get to know, supposed to go deeper with. Come home, like coming back, remembering my childhood. I remember as a family, we never pray. We never talk about God. We never go to church as a family. In fact, it was very confusing because my grandpa's Muslim, my grandma's Christians, and at home we have a Hindu temple, and every day we have a Hindu ceremonies, and using all these Hindu offerings. And when I was a kid, I played with Hindu offerings with my housekeeper. So I was like, maybe the one who really make the universe and everything in it, he maybe will hear my prayer. Maybe he will reveal himself, and therefore I know who to worship. Even though when I look outside, I look at people who seem to have religions, they seem to be happier, they seem to be content. So with that, I keep saying the prayer, like, please, the real God, please reveal yourself to me. It seems like God's silence. It seems like he's not answering my prayer. But actually, looking back now, he did answer my prayer. Because months later, my agency asked me, would you like to move to Paris? And I said, yes, maybe Paris will bring a new way, new set of living, new excitement. But actually, Paris is the place where God prepares to slowly reveal himself to me in the most unique way, through a friend who asked me to come to church. And at first I said to my friend, like, I don't want to come to church. Sunday is my sleeping times. Normally I wake up when I'm hungry. It's around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And no, I don't want to go to church. And she kept insisting I should go to church. And I was like, okay, fine. Because she asked for it, then let's go. Let's go to church. When we went to church, I don't really know what to do. I remember being in a church when I was small with my grandma. I was there, sitting there, but I'm daydreaming. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch, what kind of game I'm going to play with my friends. I don't listen to the sermon. I was just there in favor of my grandma. So I'm here in the church because my friend asked me to go with her. So I was just observing the people around me in this church in Paris. But there's something striking that I've never seen before. There's a glow on their face. There's something so glowing. Like, it's nothing to do with lighting, nothing to do with glitter on their face, but a glow, a radiant. And I wonder, like, wait a minute. Why do I look happy? Why do I look radiant? Why do I look glowing? I never seen this in the backstage of a fashion show or photo shoot. There's something about these people. Like, they're so happy, but they look simple, but they're happy. They're so glowing. And I'm just like, maybe because they know Jesus. But then there's something within me resisting to believe in Jesus. And this something's holding me back and saying, like, you cannot trust Jesus. You cannot believe in Jesus. You cannot be Christian. You have to do your homework. You have to investigate. Is religion is true? So I was like, yeah, I don't want to easily believe. So I was like, okay, there's 6 religions that I really like. And I put them in next to each other. And I ask the same questions to all of them. And they have to answer me. This is a homework I've done for almost a year before I become a believer. So I ask the question, like, origin. For example, who is God? How do you know that God exists? What God looks like? What's character of a God? Why God create human being? Why humans like this? Like, what's happening to us? What's the meaning of our, you know, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of our existence? Lots of questions I ask. Even the morality from God's perspective and human perspective. And also the question about destiny. Where do we go when we die? Where do we go? Because at the end, even though everyone have a different journey in life, some's rich, some's poor, some's healthy, some's sick, at the end, everyone will reach the same destination, die. But what happened after that? Where do we go? After almost a year of investigations, asking questions to believe leaders, to people who devoted to their faith, reading books, searching, and so on, I was shocked to realize that when Indonesians keep saying that every road leads to Rome, it's an old saying as well, but that every religion leads to the same God, I realized they don't talk about the same God, they don't even lead to the same God, because their description of God are different. And I'm surprised to see like every question I ask have different answers towards different beliefs. And in fact, even the ending of our life is totally different through different belief systems explanations. So at the end, when I ask the questions, where do we go when we die? One says that you'll be vanished. You'll be blended with your body will just go back to dust. And here you are, you're just going to be vanished. And one other belief system says that you'll be born again. And hopefully you'll be born to be a better person. Or worse come to worse, you'll be animal or trees. Another belief system says like you'll be born again until you reach perfection. And one belief system says, no. Either you go to paradise or you go to hell, but that's depend on your good deeds or bad deeds. And one says that, no, you're a sinner. Before God so loved the world, he gave his begotten only son. So whoever believes in him not going to perish, but have eternal life in him. I put all of these religions next to each other. But the more I discover the answer to my questions, the more that Christian faith really touched my heart and my mind. It makes sense in my mind, but it really touched my heart. But at the same time, I do really want to believe, because for the longest time, I don't like Jesus Christ. I don't like him because of the opinions of others around me. I don't know the person. I never read the Bible. I have such opinions about Jesus. I was so ignorant about him, but I just don't like him for no reason. But when I start to read the Bible as a skeptic, and I read his biography in the book of Mark, for example, I was surprised to see like how amazing he is and how profound, like how every word that he says is full of wisdom. He's not only preaching, but he healed people, he transformed people's life, he bring dignity back to humankind, and he give hope. When Jesus says in the John 14:6, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It sounds too good to be true at first. But then when I realize his character, when I realize how amazing God is, even in his whole life, was a perfect person in Jesus, I was like, it's impossible for him to just be human, to do so many miracles, to give so much hope to human, and to be able to speak with such a power, and yet he himself giving his life to die on the cross to save us. As it is so good to be true, it has to be true. When he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, no one goes to Father except through him. If he say like, if you believe in me, you will be with me. That invitation is something that I really need, because there is no way I can be safe over my good deeds. There is no way I can be safe over my family inheritance or anything like that. It has to be the one who have the heaven invited me to be there. As much as try to resist, even though the truth has been revealed, there is something in my heart to say, Trace, your option is just two now. Because other belief systems failed you with all the response to the question, the essential question about life, about meaning, about purpose, about destiny. Now the only faith that really touched your heart already, really touched your mind is Christian faith through Jesus Christ. The question is, do you want to believe in him? Do you want to put trust by saying yes to Jesus? Will you trust him? Or go back to your old life, which you look fine on the outside, but empty in the inside. Even though maybe you walk in the street of Indonesia, people knows your name, maybe you have autograph, maybe you'll be in the cover of magazine, but what does it mean when you feel empty? when you can't even feel all of those blessings because you really feel empty in the inside. But now a glimpse of heaven started to come into my heart, even through knowing this truth. I was afraid to believe in Christian faith, but I have no other option because this is true. I was afraid I'll become a boring person, but I know this is true. I say yes to Jesus. I say, Jesus, forgive my wrongs. Forgive my sins. Please come into my life. Please change me. I want to accept you as my Savior, as my God. I didn't realize that word is actually powerful because of who Jesus is, how he kept his promise. Weeks later, when after I became Christians, a friend of mine told me, like, Tracy, there's something different about you. I'm like, is it my hair? Like, wait, what's happening? No. You're happier. You're nicer. And I was like, really? See, I don't, maybe I was really grumpy before I became a Christian, but I didn't realize God changed me. God really changed. I mean, Jesus is real. Because the transformations, the moment that you say you believe in him, it will start to transform your heart, your mind, your lifestyle. Because after I became a Christian, I went back to become a model. But this time I was really happy because there's something relief from my shoulder that I no longer have to pretend. I can be who I am. I don't have to impress people. And there's such a freedom. It's so funny, people say the religion or faith is bondage you, is limiting you. But I found freedom because for the first time I can be who I am. My identity starts to be more and more secure in him. It's no longer in what I have, it's no longer what I in what people say about me. But most importantly is the one who have paid full price to save me, to change my life. And life has never been boring ever since I became Christian. In fact, it's so much more meaning because I see God's goodness now when he starts to cleanse my lens. I'll be able to see better. I want to close with this. I'm trying to put a nutshell of a story that happened for the past 12 years in such a short duration of time. But I just want to close with this. Jesus, I mean, in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 33:3 says this, God says this, call in me and I will answer you. I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I found the moment when I cried to him, he truly revealed himself in his way, not in my way. And he's a faithful God. He revealed and he spoke to you in the most tender way that will slowly transform your life when you truly trust in him. But one thing is that I have hope because he promised that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and I can see the evidence of how he transformed lives of people who believe in him. Is that at the end of my life, when I'm embarked from this world to the next one, I know that at the end of that journey, that Jesus will be faithful waiting for me at the end. It's not going to be just empty road, empty airports. In the heavenly airport, he will be there to welcome all of us who believe in him into his kingdom, into the place called heaven, eternity there. And for me, that is the beauty that the gospel, the good news is, not only with our citizenship as a citizen of heaven start today as we believe in him, but he will be perfecting at the end of the journey. I have so much doubt about him. But the moment that he started to reveal himself, there is no room for doubt because of the evidence through scriptures and through the person of Jesus Christ. I really hope that all of us in this place will find meaning, purpose in him. We'll know that our destiny is not just cloud, that not uncertainly, but is truly God promised a place for all of us who believe in him. So I really hope even in this journey, we will live for one audience, God himself. Because life is full of many, 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 many blessings. And life is beautiful because of who God is. And I really hope that we all have that faith in him. Maybe let me just close with a prayer that I really hope that you, who met him already, may you remain in the faith in Jesus Christ. But for you who doesn't know him, if you maybe say the prayer, God, please reveal yourself to me. Or maybe you want to discover more about this faith. But don't stop searching. Don't stop finding. Don't stop being in that beautiful relationship with God. Because the beauty of the gospel is for us to live in that story that God has given us. May I just close in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for how you come to the world and live the perfect life and died on the cross to save us. When you promise us that you're the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through you. Truly, Lord, you are that God that really transforming our life when we say yes to you. Lord, there's so many people in the world try to give us options of how we can find happiness. But you are the source of every happiness, Lord. You're the source of every blessing. May our heart and our mind knows you, that we'll live under your grace. I hope tonight will trigger lots of questions in our hearts, that we will find the answer in you. We thank you so much, God, for you are truly the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. May we search you and find you. And may you reveal to us the great and the unsearchable things that we not yet knows. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen.